Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cast Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
Good morning. This is the Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program with jazz poet and community organizer Michael Van Tol. This podcast is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group and brought to you by Benjamin Brothers Realty and the warrior lawyer Johnny Hawkins. My name is Kimberly Vassar Davis, and I am your guest host today while Michael is on assignment with his candidates preparing for the November 8th election. I want to welcome some of our morning show team this morning. I believe we have Henrietta Ivy. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Kim. Good morning, Sunday morning team. Good morning, Detroit. 10-9 days out for the election.
Good morning. It's so great to hear your voice, Henrietta. So let's Good morning. Good morning. So good morning, everyone. We're waiting for the team to join us, and we're going to jump through the news because we got a lot to talk about today. And Michael told me that I can talk about what I'd like to talk about. And I really want to talk about mental health. And I know that last week, LaToya did a fantastic job in talking about suicide awareness and prevention. Yeah. So I want to continue that conversation with mental health, specifically for my first news story. And so in the news today, if you have not heard, on Friday morning, just before 2:30 a.m., our Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, was violently attacked in their home in a targeted attack. The perpetrator was searching for her. Yes. Two sources briefed on the incident told NBC News the perpetrator shouted, "Where is Nancy? Where is Nancy?" before he attacked Paul Pelosi. San Francisco Police Chief Bill Scott said in a statement on Friday that the suspect was taken into custody as 42-year-old David DePape. He attacked Paul Pelosi with a hammer. Paul Pelosi had to undergo surgery as a result of the attack and is in stable condition. Just as a addition to that, it was said that David DePape was hoping that he could tie up Paul Pelosi until Nancy Pelosi came home, and I guess he was going to inflict further damage. This is an incredible story, and it's a story that we need to continue to have a conversation about. Also in the news, Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen announced divorce on Instagram. It's official. Elon Musk has purchased Twitter, and on Friday, celebrities left the site in droves. Also, Russia has suspended its participation in a UN brokered grain deal viewed as a key in addressing the global food shortage. We have a lot of stuff going on. We have another Sunday morning member team, I believe, yes, that joined us. Hold on one second. We're going to bring them on. Good morning, Bishop Steph and Kathy. Good morning, Bishop. Steph and Kathy. All right, we'll give him some time, but he is on. I see his number on our screen, so we'll give him some time to gather himself and come on. But we're going to go into the weather, and then we're going to come back into our commentary on our news story, just because this is fascinating to me that this actually happened. So this morning, if you haven't looked out, it's foggy. It's 43 degrees. Fall is here. So today, there will be morning fog and rain late in the day. We will have a high of 62 and a low of 50. Tomorrow, we'll have scattered showers with a high of 63 and a low of 53. On Tuesday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 66 and a low of 46. On Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 66 and a low of 47. On Thursday, partly cloudy with a high of 67 degrees and a low of 53. On Friday, I know, on Friday, it will be mostly cloudy with a high of 69 degrees and a low of 57. And on Saturday, rain showers will return with a high of 67 and a low of 58. So, Henrietta,
well, you know,
I want to come back.
What we stand in the 60s. You know what I'm saying? We had in those 50s and those 40s. So, now help me out here. Now, just because of a science, just because of science and the way that it works, until all of the leaves are turned and off the tree, is there a possibility that we still may get some warm temperatures until everything gets completely turned? Because I learned that in school as a child, that, you know, when you get an Indian summer because if your leaves haven't turned all the way or all the leaves haven't fallen off the tree kind of thing. And with the leaves, some of the leaves still being green, I mean, most of them now are orange, but there's still some areas where you see some green trees. And I'm like, well, that's kind of like the Indian summer look to me. So I was telling another friend I was debating with, I was like, until all those leaves turn and them leaves off that tree, you got to get some warm weather. You're going to get some warm days.
Absolutely. And here that you are correct. I just learned this as well. I probably learned this as a child and forgot. And then one of the local meteorologists, he was saying, because the warmth in the air is less than what it would normally be in the summer in the warmer months, that's what helps to bring greenness into the leaf. So in spring, when you first get those first couple warm days and it's like all the trees just pop, it's the same thing that happens in the fall. It gets cold, and so the leaves dry up and wither. They haven't. My tree is still full. It's half yellow, half green. It's transitioning. So it's the same thing. So I'm wondering, too, if we are, because this is the end of October. We're literally going into November in 2 days, and we still have leaves. Typically, at this time of year, the leaves are gone, and everybody's breaking, and we're anticipating snow. So we're not quite there. So I do think that we're going to have a little bit more of warmth to come in. But Henriette, I want to switch it back over to you because I know you have a lot to update us with on political updates because we've got less than a couple of weeks left. And I want you to comment on the Nancy Pelosi story. That is wild to me that someone would break into home, her personal home. You know, we talked about January 6th and people coming to the Capitol and breaking into people's offices. But there's something insidious and very dangerous and something mentally not right when you decide to go to someone's home and harm them because you're mad at them politically. And I know I didn't mention that necessarily in the story, but one of the things that's come out of that is now people are talking about how people have been emboldened to attack political candidates or office holders who they don't agree with. And we saw that in Michigan. We saw that with the attack on Governor Gretchen Whitmer, where people were plotting to kidnap her. There was the latest trial. This resulted in three people being convicted. We saw that with our Secretary of State, with Jocelyn Benson, where there were people standing outside of her house where her children laid their heads, and they had guns. They were trying to do a citizen's arrest. We've seen this in other places. When Vice President Kamala Harris was here a couple weeks ago, I had the privilege of going to hear her speak. Security was so tight, they didn't tell us the location until the day of. And I understood that because you don't want to give people an opportunity to plan anything. So, Henrietta, give us an update on what's happening politically, and then talk to us about what you're hearing about in terms of violence being perpetrated against candidates, specifically candidates that are interested in running, and how they're how they're dealing with some of the hatred that they're facing.
You know what, Kim? And this is really alarming. Like it's alarming to the point of another form of voter suppression. When you think about the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband in their home from some, you know, crazy Republicans, you know, I'm going to assume that's what they were. You're looking at a side of people or a group of people who knows that the Democrats are building, they're building strong. They haven't gotten over the fact that Trump lost that election. Let's start there. They have not gotten over that. For some reason, in their minds, they still feel that Trump is the president and the Democrats are doing some evil deed by not allowing him to come back to office, because he spoke the rhetoric so convincingly that these people are still to this day trying to find any means they can to get rid of Democratic leadership. When you talk about the attack on, you know, the governor, and you talk about the attack on the Secretary of State, these are people who are, first of all, these are women, right? These are women in leadership. Let's begin there. I'm all for, you know, equality for everybody, but you have a lot of men who feel that women should not be sitting in these positions. And a lot of it, I feel that their anger comes from the fact because these are women who run the world, okay? Let's be clear. And so they're going to find, they're going to assert their anger. They're going to assert what they think is their manhood to put us in our place. You're not supposed to be there. You know, you want to, if you don't want to let a man run the world, then we just assume just kill you. That's the mentality I see from that. Now, let's be clear. There are a lot of great men in leadership. There are a lot of women rising to leadership. It's just the way the world is operating right now. And at the end of the day, I think it would be a great thing if men would join in with women in leadership, and then things can be even more powerful. You know what I'm saying? So these attacks are still just simply are from people who are afraid of the truth. They are afraid of women being in power, and they are afraid that they're not going to have what their old ways are not going to rise up again. These are people who have that mentality of men are meant to run, women are meant to sit at home. And so you got a lot of women that follow that same mentality too. And at the end of the day, when you get a lot of that mixed into trying to prove a point, these types of things happen. You get attacked on leadership. Nancy's husband being near lost his life because these people are trying to force him to tell them where she's at. Why are you in their house, number one? You have no right to be there, and I'm glad they caught at least one of them. You have no right to try to plot and plan and kidnap the governor. She didn't do anything but save her state. And so she needs to die for just saving her state. See, they're not looking at the good things that have been done through these leaders. They're looking at the fact that they don't like the fact that they're in office and that they're Democrats. And again, a lot of it comes from Trump rhetoric. People not understanding the power of the vote is here now, and it's here to stay. And we proved that in the November election when we got Trump out of office, and I'm praying that we get out and do the same thing in trolls to make sure we keep our leaders in office that are there for the people. Now, what I've been hearing out there is a lot of people are voting. Mm-hmm. And the good news is a lot of young people are voting. So my work requires me to go out in the community to organize and talk and have conversations around the election and pocketbook issues that people are facing every day. And I am pleased to announce that our young people are voting really hard this year in this election. A lot, and here's another good piece, and I'm going to let it, and I'm going to let it, I'll take it back to you. Men are voting in number record numbers that I've seen, and I'll be out here, and I'm talking to hundreds of people a day. When I say men are voting for the protection of women's rights, it is a beautiful thing to hear and see. So if these Republicans are angry now and thinking they have an issue now, oh, baby, they ain't seen nothing until November. Them ballots, some absentee ballots in the millions are coming in. And I do believe a lot of them are with men and young people voting in this election to protect their rights. Because what I've been letting people know, and this is a sure fact, Roe versus Wade is a large legislative bill that has other bills attached to it that can roll back those laws too. If this bill, if Roe versus Wade stays in place, not only will the reproduction rights of women be taken away, but there are rights that are attached to that bill that will also be taken away. And people need to understand it is a bill deeper than abortion. And
that's
when
right.
they think, when I tell them, think about that, the alone protect the woman's right. If you have a mother, sister, auntie, cousin, female cousins who may get into a situation that could cause them their life or cause them their mental state, you need to be voting for their protection. And not only that, there are bills attached to it. I repeat that to them repeatedly. Bills are attached to that that could affect like rights and laws of Black Americans if that bill stays in place. They couldn't get what they wanted in place when Trump was in office, so those Supreme Court judges are trying to turn that over because they don't think people understand it's more to it than just a reproductive right. It is deep. And so that's what I leave with people on the door. And I think, I really feel in my spirit that that has attached to people's mentality and they're voting. They're voting. So it's unfortunate that what happened to Mr. Pelosi. I do hope that the person who tried to commit that crime get every law thrown at them, because that's like somebody coming in my house trying to force me to do something. That's like someone coming in your home. That's a violation being handled accordingly.
Absolutely, Henrietta. Thank you for sharing that. What things should we keep in mind as the election day approaches for anyone who may be still sitting on the fence saying, I don't think I want to vote. You know, my vote doesn't count. What would you say to someone?
You know, it goes back to the simplicity of the vote matters. And the story that I give to young people that I get them moving about is what I tell everybody. People die for it. That is the most, that's the simplest way to let a person know. We need to thank those people before us, our ancestors before us, the predecessors before us, that they died for a vote. If it wasn't important, why do you think people were killed and people died and people put their lives at risk because of the importance of the vote? I leave them. You see how people acting when we came out in the Trump election. That's right there alone, right there. Those two pieces alone, right there, is enough to say, you know what? Let me get up and go vote. Just the idea of thinking that old laws can come back into play is the reason to get up and vote. So I hit them with civil rights questions, the civil rights areas, that those laws can come back real quickly if we don't use our vote. Because first of all, let's be clear, they're trying to take it away. And once they take that privilege away from us, that affects all of us. That affects everybody in the Democratic Party.
That's right.
When we get one party or one set of people who can't vote anymore, we are subjected to laws that can be put in place that could affect us for the rest of our lives and generations to come.
That's true. Very true. Thank you, Henrietta, for sharing that.
You're
good
welcome.
Morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chaplain Kathy. Are you with us?
Well, good morning to you. Good morning.
Good
morning.
Good
morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy.
Bless you all. Oh, my, y'all setting fire to it. Just let me sit right back and just listen. Y'all doing a tremendous job at putting it out there. But I want to, if I may, well, shout out to you guys. Shout out to the entire team. Shout out to the mic. Shout out to the missionary. And shout out to the tree. But I want us to be forever mindful that isn't it oftentimes when it gets near an election, we always hear about certain things happening to certain candidates and all that, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to be mindful, not saying that it's in this particular situation. Sometimes people will stage some things, honey. Sometimes people will stage some things. Sometimes people, when it comes to politics, not only does it get dirty, but it gets wretched. It's just wretched. So we have to be forever mindful that when it comes to this thing, they play checkers, but we play chess. Because we are chess players, you see, we've mastered that game. You see how far we as a people have come in spite of the checker moves that they have been trying to lay on us for years and decades and all of that. So I just want us to be forever mindful and not allow ourselves to be wrapped up in the things that could be that could seem a certain way, but yet not be that way when it comes to politics. That's all I wanted to say in that aspect, because it can happen. It can happen. It can happen. And we've all known it could happen. So, again, my heart goes out to him, you know, for what transpired, but we have to be – I'm open-minded when it's time for election. And why it never happened before is what I say. Why no one ever came at this situation before and tried this or tried that, but now all of a sudden, election time, now my focus is right here. Now this is what just happened at their home. My. God bless you all today.
God bless you too, Chaplain Kathy. So Chaplain Kathy, because you always end up being the last person, I'm going to start with you first. So talk
my
to
love.
Us. Amen. Amen. We at the right time. What would you say, because this is a mental health issue, and for people take something so far and be violent, and you're correct, this isn't the first time that this has happened. We can go down a long list of assassinations and talk about how many people were killed because someone was deranged in thinking that they needed to kill this person. If you met someone and you are an elected official, you met someone and they were talking crazy about politics, how would you address that? As an individual, not as an official, but as an individual, to help them get their mind together?
I'm glad you asked that question, and I'm glad you started with me first on that question right there. It's a tremendous question. I address human behavior with a humanistic response, period. No matter how we are feeling in life about what whomever or whatever, when it comes down to what you do, you have to choose either doing what's right or doing what's wrong. That don't have nothing to do with politics. That has to do with human behavior. So what my address to an individual that's talking and like that to around me or by me, I channel in on what's real. And that's humanistic behavior. Is that good? Is the outcome on what you're going to do, is it going to be beneficial to you throughout your life? Now, because no matter what, if you go do something to somebody because you're mad, guess what? Everybody going to come against you, and they're going to be glad. Everybody going to be glad. So why is it that if you're feeling a certain way about a politician, another elected official per se or whatever, then you say, oh, I want to do them in. Well, you're supposed to be happy about who you elect, who you help get in the office. If you don't like somebody, then it's best to just stay away from that person. They didn't like Jesus. Didn't like Jesus. To this day, they still don't, a lot of folks still don't like Jesus. What I'm saying? So you have to channel in on those things based on the reality that you're human. And a human has to be able to choose good over evil. It don't matter what the situation is. When you're driving down the street, I don't care how fast everybody may be going, when that light turns yellow, you better stop. You better get ready to stop. And that's how it is with us as humans. When you're in a conversation with somebody and that light turning yellow, baby, you better get out of that conversation. You better them know, hey, when I stop at this moment, that's an opportunity for me to think and plan my next move. Plan my next move. How do I move forward now? So my approach to them is in a humanistic way. Come on, man. You got to know, you got to choose good over evil all the time. And then if you think a certain way, you're going to feel a certain way. If your feelings is based off your thoughts and they're bad, then your actions is going to be bad. God bless you again today. I wish I had a little help on here.
You do have a little bit of help. Well, we got to take a station break, and we'll be right back with the Michael Vantool Show.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990.
You've been listening to The Michael Vantool Show. Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Vantool Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cass Tech graduate, Michael Vantool.
Good morning. We are back here at the Michael Vantool Show. I am your guest host, Kimberly Baxter Davis. If I did not introduce myself, I apologize. I am an author, podcaster, lifestyle editor, playwright, professional speaker. I wear a lot of hats. Good morning. And the Sunday morning team is here with us. We have Henrietta Ivey, our political analyst. And we have Chaplain Stephan Cathy, our inspirational encourager. Yes, Chaplain Cathy, I gave you a whole new title. Good morning, guys.
You certainly did.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I love it. I love it too.
So I do have a feel-good story for us because we just got through talking about some rather distressing news. Study finds that eating dinner as a family makes 91% of families less stressed. Didn't we know this? But everyone knows
yes.
Your family can be a pain in the neck sometimes, but regular family dinners can be the key to reduce stress levels in the household. A survey by the American Heart Association, who researches chronic stress, which can increase rates for all manners of non-communicable heart diseases. Of the 1,000 U.S. adults nationwide surveyed in September 2022 by Wakefield Research on behalf of the American Heart Association, 91% of respondents said their family was less stressed when they share meals together. 84% say they wish they could share a meal more often with loved ones. Sharing meals with others is a great way to reduce stress, boost self-esteem, and improve social connection, particularly for kids. Chronic constant stress can also increase your lifetime risk of heart disease and stroke, so it is important for people to find ways to reduce and manage stress as much as possible, as soon as possible. Connecting with friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors benefits people beyond stress relief. In fact, the American Heart Association survey found 67% of people say sharing a meal reminds them of the importance of connecting with other people, and 54% say it reminds them to slow down and take a break. The survey also identified the majority, 65% of adults said they are at least somewhat stressed, and more than a quarter, 27%, are extremely or very stressed. Nearly 7 in 10 survey respondents who are employed full or part-time said they would feel less stressed at work if they had more time to take a break and share a meal with a coworker. Those surveys said they are more likely at 59% to make healthier food choices when eating with other people, but have difficulty aligning schedules with their friends or family to do so, according to the survey. Overall, respondents reported eating alone about half of the time. We know it's not always as easy as it sounds to get people together at mealtime like other healthy habits. Give yourself permission to start small and build from there. Set a goal together, friends, family, or coworkers, for one more meal together each week. If you can't get together in person, think about how you can share a meal together over a phone or computer. Excuse me. I just had this conversation yesterday, Chaplain and Henrietta, and I want to get your thoughts on it. I was telling my girlfriend, we're struggling, both of us, busy schedules, wanting to eat better, eat and be healthy. And one of the things that she said, she was giving me some tips, and I said, you know, it's funny. I said, when I eat with she and our other friends, I said, I eat very healthy. I said, I eat slowly, because that's an issue, because I believe that's an American culture issue, because in America, we rush through our food. And she was saying the same thing, because she's getting ready to leave the country, and she's going to Europe for a couple weeks. And all of my friends, and I haven't had the pleasure to go to Europe yet. However, all my friends have told me that when you go to Europe, like Italy, Spain, France, England, wherever it is that you're going, that meals are different. When people eat, they take their time. They enjoy their food. Here in America, we'd like to say that we enjoy our food, but if you're going to a fancy restaurant and there's a 45-minute wait, or they need to move the table because they have a long line of people, or somebody's reservation is coming in. Maybe you had a reservation for 9:30, and maybe at 10:45, when you still might be having coffee, if you're like me, after dinner, they're like, oh, we need to get to the table because we got a reservation that's coming in. Henrietta, what share your thoughts on what I just talked about in terms of dinner. Was that something that helped your family as a mother? And then Chaplain, I want you to chime in as well. Henrietta, are you still with us?
Well, okay.
Chaplain, go ahead. You're on with us.
He's always trying to make me go in there first. I think it's a wonderful thing. One thing for certain, family.
Mm-hmm.
Family is the most important entity that we all are connected to, next to God. It's your
Amen.
Family.
That's right.
God is always first,
mm-hmm.
but it's your family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that COVID and everything that came with it did a great disservice to family,
mm-hmm.
because when you thought that lockdown time was brought us together, and seemingly you find that it in a lot of places it had torn us apart, as
right.
pushed us further and further away from our families. But I think coming out of COVID, coming out of the lockdown, coming out of everything that we've gone through, that's a tremendous put forth for us to be able to sit down. You remember them Sunday dinners? You know,
mm-hmm.
some of them Sunday dinners, the grandma. See,
yes.
We ain't got the grandmas we used to have back in the day, man.
Right.
Them grandmas,
right.
man, start cooking on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It is so important. It is so important for us to sit down with our family and have a nice meal. And not only that, because it gives them the opportunity to discuss and open up some things and have a good time with
that's
your family.
Right.
I hope that spoke to you. Can you please, Sister Henrietta, come on here and bail me out?
I think we lost Henrietta. I think she had to step off the line for a minute. So we're going to hope that she's going to join
wow.
us again. But you're right. But you're right, Chaplain. You know, oftentimes when people are struggling, and I like to always joke and say TikTok, I know TikTok is not the most responsible social media site, and I'm not necessarily picking on them, but I like to call it my educational resource. I've learned some things on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a great video that I came across where there were two parents, and it was specifically mm-hmm. a dad who was talking to, I guess, his wife or his child's mother. And the daughter was really quiet, and he called her after she left for school. And he said mm-hmm. she didn't sound right. And the mother said, well, she's just quiet. She's got a lot on her plate. And he said, she didn't sound right. And he called her. He said, hey, are you okay? And she said, it's just, it's a lot going on. And he said, come back home. You need a mental mm-hmm. health day. And I thought, mm-hmm. wow, that was important, because when we talk about school shootings, when we talk about violence in the workplace, when we talk about road rage incidents where people will say, well, he cut me off and he wouldn't let me merge over. And, you know, in Michigan, every road is under construction. Everybody's frustrated. People do like to wait till the last minute to merge. And it is frustrating. Mm-hmm. And if you are mm-hmm. late or you need to get someplace, you know, if you're trying to get your kids to school or you're trying to get to work or whatever it is frustrating. And if you happen to have a gun and, you know, the rage overtakes you, and I don't want to simplify it to just make it seem like, oh, it's just the rage, but it seems like there are so many angry people, Chaplain. You know, when you're driving and somebody is on your bumper and you're like, dude, I'm doing 75, 85. How fast are you going? Where are you going? We all trying to get to where we're going. What is going on? And I do think that people are lonely and people need to spend time together. And I hear you got your hand up, Chaplain. Go ahead.
That's right. It's up in the air. You know what? When it comes to there's a lot of anger.
It is.
Within us. It's a lot of anger built up. And you know what? Anger management should be at home. We should start at home in the morning. It should start at home in the morning. And what I have learned to help when it comes to anger, to your anger, is what the Bible says, to be angry, but sinneth not. Be angry, but sinneth not.
That's
so
right.
That resonates in my mind when anger tries to go to bed with me at night, then wake up in the morning with me. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
These road rage is, first of all, I tell folks, you're mad at somebody for cutting you off because you're going to be late for work.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point did you say, maybe I need to try to get up a little earlier so
mm-hmm.
that I won't end up putting my – we have to look at the position or the situation that we're putting ourselves in, and as a result, we really be angry at ourselves.
That's
we really
right.
be mad at ourselves, and we take that out on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So anger management has to start before we even get in our car. I wish I had a little help on here. Yes, it has to start with yourself. We have to be able to control ourselves. Jesus ain't going to get mad if somebody cut him off.
That's right.
Well, you know how people start wearing them wristbands saying, what would Jesus do? Because they was
mm-hmm.
doing everything that Jesus wouldn't do. While
mm-hmm.
they was wearing a wristband that say, what would Jesus do? They was doing everything he wouldn't do. That's why, if you notice, folks don't wear that no more.
That's
because reality saying, we have to examine our own selves. We have to stop putting so much on us with the time that we have to get things done. Because what that does, it frustrates us. And now, guess what? It's going to make us call somebody else to be a victim of what we say or of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to start at home. A lot of people go through what they go through in the road when it comes to road rage is not because they were necessarily cut off, but because they, in their mind, they going through something. Like you said, I'm going to be late for work. You see,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to hurry up and go get this. I'm trying to hurry up and go and do that. You see? So look at from the time that you get up in the morning, from the time that your body says it's time to go to sleep again, and see how much of that time that you, that all of the stuff that we're cramming in on us, from the time we wake up to the time that our body says it's time for me to lay down again.
That's right. That's
anger,
right.
Starts at home. Everybody done been in a situation where they got mad because somebody cut them off. Everybody got mad and maybe flicked somebody off because they got cut off or whatnot. But me, I try to keep that scripture in mind. Where it says to be angry. Be angry, but sin if not. God bless you again.
Amen. God bless you. I am going to bring on our minister at large, Brother Randall Smith. Good morning, Randall Smith. Are you with us?
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning. It's good to hear your voice.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, His Grace.
Brother Randall Smith, what's a good word on anger and mental health this morning?
Mental health is real, and so is anger. But there's a way around everything. I've dealt with a couple of issues this week, and it was unique. But I find myself stealing away now more in praying because of the position that I'm in. Can't react as everyone else do. I have to think differently and hold my peace. One of my brothers called me in, and I had just explained to him everything that I was dealing with. And he called me and said, totally different. And I'm like, wow, how did he just flip like that? The Lord revealed to me, remember, he said what he was going through. And I noticed that that mental stuff is really real with him. And I said, okay. So my point I'm trying to allude to, I said, well, I'll fall back. Because I'm quick to say, now you see me, now you don't, in a minute. Because I don't want to get into no issue. And so now, I was supposed to have been taking over a ministry in another area. This person called me going straight off, bro, Kathy, you know, I could have went left. And I said, ma'am, I said, please calm down. I said, we're not going to go here because I'm not going to do this. Well, I call you back. I said, no. Lord, don't let her call me anymore because I'm going to tell them I'm backing down. I'm not going to take over the ministry because, one, the way you came at me, and I'm not going to disrespect you, and you're not going to disrespect me. We're done.
And that's important. With protecting your peace.
Yes, ma'am.
You said it real good. Protect your peace. You want to protect your peace. And how do you do that? Is by keeping your mind stayed on the Lord.
That's right.
That's the only thing that's going to help us. And you know what, sis? That's perfect. When we get up and we leave it, before we walk out the door, we ought to just stand there and say, God, help me protect my, I wish I had some help on here.
Help me
protect my peace.
That's right.
That's what I need. I don't need to get no phone call that's going to disturb my peace. I don't need to talk to them. I don't need to see nobody that's going to interfere with my peace. That's a dynamic sermon right there. Lord, help me. Help me protect my peace. I need some help here, Lord.
Amen.
He will because he said that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Even to the end of time.
That's right.
So we need God to help. Oh, my Lord, I'm going to preach that one day. God, help me.
Don't do it. You keep your mind in peace.
That's right. Chaplain Kathy, I'm going to give you some help. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else,
my mama,
heart, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 4:24 says, keep your mouth of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. 25, verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. 26.
Mm-hmm.
Give careful thought to the path for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. You are absolutely right. Be wise. We got to stay in the book. We got to stay prayed up. And as the shout out to missionary Hattie Humphrey this morning, we have to remember, what is missionary? If you're going to worry, why pray? And if you're going to pray, why worry? Amen. Amen. That's your sermon.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Sermon. But
while we're right there,
mm-hmm, go ahead.
Me and Brother Van Pitt, we need to pray for Mother Hattie Humphrey.
Yes, we do.
We need to keep her lifted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when you came to our, when you all were at the service, Mother had said something, and I said, "Nope, we bind that
mm-hmm.
now."
Mm-hmm.
We need saints of God, like Mother and my mom, still here,
mm-hmm.
and so we speak life over her wherever she may be. Mother, we release life over you now. We speak it more abundantly. You shall live.
Amen.
And complete the work of the Lord. And so.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen. This is wonderful. Before I forget, I have to mention, because our wonderful missionary Hattie Humphrey, our very own Michael Van Tool, and myself are board members of Franklin Wright Settlement, the oldest settlement house in the state of Michigan. We have our Spirit of Giving event is coming up on December 9th at MGM. It is going to be a fantastic night. Brother Randall Smith, I hope you can come and put on your Sunday finest and join us for a celebration. We are honoring Missionary Hattie Humphrey, is one of our honorees. We are honoring our legacy. The people who have stood with us, who have helped us. You know, we just came through COVID, a pandemic, all kinds of things, and we are still standing. And, you know, Monique Marks, who is our president and CEO, has led us brilliantly throughout, and with a wise counsel of people like Missionary Hattie Humphrey, she's been able to do that. So this is going to be a fantastic night. It's December 9th. At MGM. This is for Franklin Wright Settlements, Inc. And Michael, Missionary, and I will all be there in attendance. If you'd like more information for tickets or to become a sponsor or to support, it's 313-579-1000. Again, that number is 313-579-1000. All right.
Now,
I want to take us back to our conversation. Go ahead. Who was Chaplain or Randall? Which one? I'm sorry.
It was Randall.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Randall. I'm sorry.
What does the, for me being, I guess, the new senior pastor, what does that look like? How does that work into, what are the requirements for me to be in attendance for the dinner, what have you?
Oh, we can get you that information. I can get you ticket information. If you are interested in having your church support, same for you, Chaplain, I can get you all of that information, and we can get you there. It'll be a great night. But I want to go back to our conversation on mental health. And, you know, Pastor, you talked about it, protecting your peace. And I want to ask you the same question, because as a pastor, you deal with people all the time who have issues.
Yeah.
How do you talk to people about seeking therapy, having medication, or anything like that? Or do you just tell them to pray about it?
I tell them to pray about it. And I tell them, let's pray, because there's a lot of people out here that are really, they want to get into arguments, and I'm not the one. I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had too many conflicts, and I'm like, you know what? Where things are going on now, I choose not to, and I'll tell the person in a minute, look, before we get into all that, I'll talk to you later. Because that's just not who I am. Yesterday, listen, Kathy, brother, me and my cousin, we were on Finkel, and his little ministry is over there, and he goes to rehearsal. So the young fella that plays for him, he said, look, that guy, it was three young fellas going in the store, and they threw on hoodies, and one put a gun in his pants going in the store. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, pray against death and murder, because them young fellas were going in there to do some stuff, and them Arabs over there would have killed all three of them. We're living in rough times, and God is not playing. Jesus is on his way back sooner than people know.
That's right. Chaplain Kathy, talk up, because you have a program that you use to discuss mental health and suicide awareness and prevention. Talk to us about that.
It's titled Suicide Prevention, Rehabilitation, Treatment, Therapy. God had laid that on the spirit of my heart, which is our mind. The spirit of your heart is your mind. He laid that on me many, many, many years ago. And I tell folk that to be suicidal, it's not the act of killing you or trying to kill yourself. It's the thought that you actually want to die. That's what I put that in a nutshell to say. So if you could change the pattern of those that are suicidal, then the suicide rate will go down. One thing I tell people that I talk to that say that they're suicidal, I tell them this: where are you going to go after you have hurt your body so much that your body can't go no further? Where you gonna go? Now, listen, we can talk about you going to heaven, or we can talk about you going to hell. But the truth, let it be truth in this thing here. No one has died from suicide and came back and said, this is how life was on the other side. So
that's right.
If I can't get you to go into an abandoned building in the dark, just walk into this building in the dark out of fear, then how can you want to say that I'm going to kill myself and walk into the unknown? You're putting yourself in a position of the unknown, because you don't know, a fact doesn't come until you actually get there. So once you actually kill yourself, you can't come back. And what happens is our bodies take as much hurt and pain that it could possibly take. And then God said, you know what? That body can't go no further. Come on, give me my breath back. Give me my breath back. God gives us life. He gives us life. It's because of God's breath that we move, that we have our being. Who are us to say, I'm going to give this, God, I don't even want your breath of life no more. And then we think that we're going to stand there with God. You're going to stand with no guy. You're not. And see, you got to be, we have to attack those suicidal thoughts with real conversations. Is it real logical? Is it real? How do you hurt? How does it hurt the person that made you so mad that you're going to go ahead and say, I'm going to do all of this to my body so I can't do nothing else with it? How do we hurt that person? You want to hurt somebody? Don't kill yourself. Succeed. Advance. Excel. Show some growth. Let that individual, let those thoughts know that in spite of, I can see I'm still making this thing. I'm still doing it. Because when people decide that they want to go there and take their life out, take their life, give God his breath back, they sit and they say, it's done. I've gone as far as I can go. I've had enough with life. Mm-hmm. You got to trust God in not not some things, but all things. And when we trust God, even with our thoughts, man, God will snatch that. He'll put suicide thoughts to bed. He'll send suicide back to the pit of hell where it comes from. That's what God will do. So what I do think is that I have a realistic approach to it. I tell folk the real. Are you really want to, you that mad at your husband or your wife that you want to go ahead and end your own life? And guess what? They're going to go and get them another husband or another wife.
Right.
I wish I had some buck on here. Life does not stop because because one of us decided to take ourselves out because of hurt, because of pain. Right. Life doesn't stop there. Life keeps going. So in order to beat the suicidal thoughts, you got to think good. You got to think your way through whatever it is that you're going through. You got to think your way through it. Mm-hmm. And you got to trust God to get you through it. But suicide prevention, rehabilitation, treatment, therapy is a wonderful entity that I am given the opportunity. I could break every element of that down because that's the order in which it should go. Suicide, prevent it. Rehabilitation, treatment, then therapy. That's how that should go. And then that I have always found it to work. I've talked to a lot of people about who have had suicidal thoughts. And I'm not one of those speakers that say that in every aspect of conversation helps. No. But if you could save one, if you could touch the heart or the mind of one person who's thinking that, then you've done God a good service. God bless you again.
God bless you. Henrietta, are you back with us?
You know what? My phone died. I was on the phone. The line was on another number. And I kept going, hello, hello, hello. But I think I may have been muted. So guys didn't hear me. So I was like, oh, my God. So I'm trying to juggle both of the devices so I can get in and have and give a feedback on the conversation. So, but my other phone, I got like 3% on it, so I was able to get that back up and running, which is the line I'm talking on now. I did hear the conversation and the feedback, which was absolutely amazing when it comes to family and dinner times. I think I'm all, matter of fact, I'm all for it. My children and I, we try to get together as much as we can to do dinners, to sit down and have conversations and reminisce on the good life and the things that we accomplished, talk about some of the things that happened coming through these times that we were, as a young mother and then when it was small, just connecting in that aspect when you talk about family dinner. So it's a connection that brings families together, and I'm all for that. When it comes to the mental health aspect, I agree 1,000% with Kathy. We must understand that suicide by death or death by suicide is not of God. Let's be clear of that. And if we can have that conversation around those who are going through something and that's their only option or their final option, we need to have a conversation to let them know that is not something you're not going to glory on that end when you do something of that nature. That is that is not of God, and He is not appreciative of you of anyone choosing to take a life He gave to you. He has your date and time set for you, and it has to happen that way. When we go past that, we anger the Almighty, and that's just how it is. So I love how Kathy put it out there, prevention, therapy, conversation, all that, we blend it in together is definitely needed. I think that needs to be pushed more. I wish there was funding for you, Bishop Kathy, to get those types of resources to the community, particularly in our Black community, as we've seen so many tragedies that happen through mental health issues. We need to really amp these fundings up for that. Also, lastly, I know it's 10 o'clock. We do have the election day coming up. We have 9 days in. Just want to mention that there is a partisan section of the ballot, a nonpartisan section of the ballot, and then we have our proposals. So make sure everyone that's listening, all Detroiters, you have a ballot that has the governor. We have state representatives. We have attorney generals. We have secretary of state, Wayne County commissioners, executive sheriffs, and commissioners. senators, representatives, state board of education members, and board members of local and state colleges and universities. This will be on the partisan side of your ballot. On the nonpartisan side of your ballot, you have Michigan Supreme Court, probate court, circuit and district judges, community advisory councils, and Detroit Public School Board members on the nonpartisan, which would either be at the bottom of your ballot or on the back of your ballot, depending on where your county is. I know in Wayne County, I believe, is on the back of the ballot. And then we have our proposals. Proposal 1, legislative term limits and financial disclosures amendment. Proposal 2, right to voting policies and amendment. And Proposal 3, the right to reproductive freedoms and initiatives. So I wanted to make sure I get that in there. And we have 9 days in. If you have any questions or concerns, please reach out to the hotline number of 313-664-2424. And that is, you have that number is related to Election Day. If you have any calls or concerns, just want to know where your polls are, call that number again. It's 313-664-2424, 313-664-2424. And the last day to vote is November 8th. Polls open up at 7 a.m. and will close at 8 a.m. So get your souls to the polls, get your foot to the doors, get out there, make a change, change our community, and make your voice be heard.
If I may chime right on top of you right there, because she put us to bed on that one. We need to get out here and start telling everybody that lost their lives, we need to tell them thank you. And if you wanted the best way to tell them thank you right now, is to get out and vote. We had our people getting hot. Can you imagine getting a drop of coffee spilled on your hand? It's you, my Lord. You'd be like, oh, Lord. But then imagine sitting in a restaurant where they said it was all whites only. You decide to sit there and they just throwing hot coffee on you, trying to make you get up out of there. Our people... Mm-hmm. So much to secure us the right to vote. I think one of the things that we should start doing, when we start putting events and stuff together, we should tell folks, you can get a discount if you come in and show your proof of your voter's registration card.
Great idea.
Start doing that. If you want to get a percentage off, come to this event, and you must have your voter's registration card. Or bring somebody with you. Bring somebody with you that is not a registered voter, and before they get in, all they got to do is register, sign up to vote right there, and then they can still get in. We have to feed the minds of the people, and we're living in a world where incentives. You see, incentives are a good thing. If you do this, I'll do that. So we have to now. I don't care if it's a dance. I don't care. We have to reach out to these youngsters. And if we put together something and tell them you could either bring your voter's registration card or you could sign up before you get in and you can get in. Mm-hmm. If we put some stuff out there for them, trust and believe, there's a huge generation out here that want to be a part of this thing, but we have to push it to them. We have to excite them, just like we were excited. But I tell everyone, you want to say thank you, man, to all our people that got lynched, to all of our people who just been through, and about make me tear up, because you gotta really know what our people been through, and it's terrible that we won't say thank you. We don't have the energy to go stand in the line and vote. Do what you got to do, because it's different now. It's different now. Things still exist. Don't get us wrong, but it's a lot different now. And it's different because of what our people did for us. So once again, God bless you. I wish I had a little more help on here.
You know what, Kelly? I'm going to chime in. We got to take a station break.
And we're going to come right back because this is an exciting and very important conversation. Stay tuned with us. We'll be right back.
And now a message from jazz poet Michael Van Tool.
Hi, my name is Michael Van Tool. Let's talk for a minute. I believe in Detroit. I spent 32 years as your neighborhood banker. But now I form Michigan Ocean Strategy Group to bring 3 affordable business services directly to you. Number 1, radio advertising and production services. Number 2, customized business services and workshops. And number 3, political and public relations. So call me and share your vision. My office number is 248-516-8300. But look, I can't do any of this business stuff without shining a light on our community. It's who I am. It's a part of me. There are people who desperately need our help. And there are people who work hard every day. And there are volunteers who provide resources and opportunities to those in need. You see, I believe in our community. I believe in you. And we can believe in each other. We are one. One community, one neighborhood, one city. Let's live and work together. My name is Michael Van Tool. We are all one Detroit.
If you would like to share your vision for Detroit with Michael Van Tool, call 248-516-8300.
No matter what we do, we are one.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120.
Good morning. This is Kimberly Baxter Davis. I am the guest host for the Michael Van Tool Show. We have the Sunday morning team with us. We have Chaplain Stephan Cathy and Henrietta Ivy, our political analyst, and we and brother are a member at large, Brother Randall Smith, Pastor Randall Smith. We had a great conversation going, and I want to jump back into it. Henrietta, you were going to add something to the conversation. Continue. Henrietta, are you still with us?
I'm sorry, I had it on mute. I apologize. I was going to say to Bishop Cathy that when you mentioned that quote a couple of Sundays ago about saying, using the word thank you to our ancestors, I actually have been using that on the doors. I have been incorporating that in my conversations because, and the thing about it, let me tell you, it has definitely awakened. It has given people something to think about, particularly our young people,
yes.
Because they don't know where to begin with the voting thing, because a lot of them, let's be clear, haven't been taught. When they removed civics out of the schools, when they took a lot of those classes and conversations away from black schools or schools in the city of Detroit, selective schools still get this privilege to understand what the vote is, the branches, what it means to vote, voting history, 1964-65 laws, and all of that, the civil rights era, the history of black people and the vote. A lot of schools, they're privileged to still get that. Our regular schools, like our charter schools and some of our just regular, you know, middle schools and high schools, they don't have that privilege anymore. So a lot of them, when I talk to them, they don't know what to do. All they've heard is voting don't matter, so don't vote. This is what was told to me. They get this conversation of voting don't matter. I wouldn't vote if I was you. It ain't going to change nothing. And this was coming from people of the generations before them and before me, telling young people voting don't matter. So when you're getting your senior people or people that are older than you telling you voting don't matter, it puts you in that headspin. The young people are in a headspin to believe that their vote don't matter, because they're not educated on the truth and why this is important. So I bring in telling, you know, them to tell your, this is why you should vote. Tell your people, tell the ancestors before you, thank you, because they died for this right. And Kathy, you hit it best when you said, can you imagine someone dropping a drop of coffee on your hand? You know how that feels when it spills on us. I can't even imagine someone throwing a hot pot of coffee in my face, disfiguring me for the right that I was born with, because they want to feel like they could take it away. So I'm going to use it on the door. I'm going to ask you right now. I'm going to need your permission to let folks know these are some of the immense things that some of our people went through. Hot coffee, hot food, you know, being pushed down, being dragged out of, you know, the things.
Water hose, dog.
Being raped.
Brick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being raped and robbed.
Being raped. Having your hands pulled down in public. I mean, women in dresses being being drugged and having their private parts exposed. Like, it's the thing that, I'm telling you, these last 9 days, I'm going to get even more deeper. Can you imagine these laws being brought back in if you don't use your power?
That's right.
Yes.
So yes. I want to add to the conversation, because I read this, Henrietta, you tell me if you've heard it, and Chaplain, tell me too. So there is a conversation happening with some proposed legislation. It's either Georgia or Texas. I think it was Georgia, but I could be wrong. They want to narrow the definition of what an African-American person is. And let me tell you why. Because on the census, if you check off that you are Black or of Africa, however it's phrased, and also Latino or also Native American or whatever else that you check or other, they want to then take you out of that classification and say, well, we don't have all these Black people down here that you think we do, because these people don't identify. This is another tactic that they're using to disqualify voters. And when I read it, I was like, oh my goodness, these people are evil. Wow.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Just laying on me. I wrote a song a long, long time ago. And God put it on the heart of my spirit. And the song simply says, in particular part, I thank you for that. I thank you for having my back. I thank you for all you've done for me. Yeah, because you've made me a part of history. That should be the theme song during voting season, because we need to push that company of our ancestors, man, our four mother, four father, four sister, four brothers, because we have family members that was back in that time that got killed that we never got a chance to even know, that never got a chance to make it. Our sisters was hung up by their arms and by their foot. And the babies cut out their stomachs, and they watched them as they fell to the ground, and they would stomp their heads. So we have to tell them thank you, man. If we don't do nothing else for the rest of our life, when it comes, if you want to show how strong we are, you want to show how determined we are, don't listen. Mm-hmm. We did it for Obama. I wish I had some help on here. You hear me? We didn't do it for him one time, but we did it for him twice. And we almost stepped out there in tremendous numbers. Tremendous numbers. And there's nobody alive or even gone on who ever thought or felt that we would ever have a Black president. But God, say, I am who I say I am. I'm going to do what I know I can do. So we got to tell our, it's just as simple as that. Thank you. Thank you for what you did for me. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know it's raining outside, but I'm still going to stand in this line and cast my vote. I wish I had some help on here. You hear me?
You know what? You are nailing it. That is it right there.
We
need to be a short commentary commercial that we line up a couple of young people to say, I voted because I want to say thank you to the people who paved the way for me to have this privilege. We need some type of a commentary. We need something right now, moving right now these next 9 days from the young people.
Yeah.
Just a short video, something we can just pull together and just put it on Facebook. Yeah. I mean, Kathy, Division Kathy, I would love to see you pull something together like that. You can get 7-8 young people who you know for a fact, or I can find them, or it doesn't matter, or taking pictures with them on the doors.
Yes.
We need to let the people know our young people are voting and they are engaged.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to, can jump in real quick, and I'm going to get out of the way. I heard Brother Kathy mention about what we need to do is get a program together for mental illness. And we need to get something together for suicide. So I'm putting it out there here and now. I want the Love of Christ Outreach Center, Church of God in Christ, to take part in a program for mental illness and for basically social change, because my heart desire is for the men, young, old, and between, all colors. I want to put this out there. So, Kathy, I'm reaching out to you, Henrietta, and Dr. Kim B. Davis.
Yes.
Let's come together and put something together, because there's monies out there, but they're not being used.
Yes,
I found my nephew, who is J.D. Davis, J.D. Davis Financial. He's connecting me to some big things. So I would like, as early as possible, as soon as possible, let us come together and put something together for that.
Okay. I'm with it.
Amen. Amen. I'll do it if the missionaries say we can do it, and if Michael Baratua say we can do it, I'm a part of it. I need their permission to move on this one here. Have I got some help on him?
Well, I'm already part of the team, so.
Yes, sir.
Right.
It's a done deal.
We're going to take a quick station break, and we'll be right back with closing thoughts on this very important conversation.
It's a member of the Real Team.
We find them and fix them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
Listen, we find them and fix them and flip them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got them drippin' with style, got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you wanna do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth. It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, essential for financial health. You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's bbrosrealty@gmail.com.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client, and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service.
Okay, good morning. We're returning back to the Michael Van Tool Show. I am the guest host standing in for Michael Van Tool. This is Kimberly Batcher Davis. We have our Sunday morning team, Henrietta Ivy, and Pastor Randall Smith, our member at large. And guys, this has been a great morning. We have energized. We've actually come up with a plan. But before we get out of here, I want you guys to give closing thoughts. How people can reach out to you and any tools that you have that you want to share with people. And I want to start off with our amazing Sunday morning team member, Henrietta Ivy, our political analyst. Henrietta, share with us voting tools. If someone, you were talking about, people were saying that they have been told that they shouldn't vote, your vote doesn't count. If someone says, you know what, I've been told that I shouldn't vote, but I guess I because everybody keeps telling me I should, and now you're telling me because people died I need to get up and vote. Well, where do I go? I don't know where my precinct is. I don't even know if I'm registered to vote. Henrietta, walk someone through that and tell us how we can reach out to you.
Thank you, Kim. So what I normally do on a daily basis when I'm having conversations in the community around the not voting and why should I vote, I simply hit them with people died for our vote. And if it wasn't important, they wouldn't have died for it. So I leave them with that thought. And I let them know that you're how important if their voting is, because all the amenities that they know now, all the freedoms that they have now, they were not just 55 years ago, we didn't have these freedoms. There were civil rights laws put in place that prevented black folks from living in certain areas, sitting in certain restaurants, even being out at a certain time at night. And if you, and even during the day, if you were caught walking, minding your business, they could pull up, snatch you up, kill you, throw you in a river, and nothing would be done to them because of how the laws was written for our black people. And the vote came in because we had black people who said, you know, enough was enough. And we're tired, sick and tired of this happening to us and our families. We want to vote, and we want to vote in people who want to protect us and our community. And I ask them, I give them that, and I tell them that they are interested in voting and want to vote because they want to utilize their power, because it is a power. They have the Department of Elections. I send them there. I also give them information through our organization for our future, Michigan, NAACP. They have a lot of great little flyers going around that I also submit on the door. There are numbers attached to that that they can call if they have questions about where their polling location is, or just questions about ballot initiatives and incentives, I mean, initiatives and proposals. I definitely let them know what's on the ballot, but also let them know that the biggest key to knowing what is on your ballot and who was running and what these initiatives and who these people are is to do your research. So I hit the community with those conversations, and so far, so good. It's been, people have been calling me, telling me thank you. They have utilized the information that I've given them, and they're happy that I was able to convince them how powerful their vote is.
Excellent. How can we reach out to you, Henrietta, if people have questions?
I do have a Facebook page, Henrietta Ivy. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and LinkedIn. Just type in any one of those social media, Henrietta Ivy, and I will pop up. Or you can reach me at 313-544-8921. Leave a message letting me know that's what you're calling for, and I will return the call. That number again is 313-544-8921.
Excellent. Thank you, Henrietta. Chaplain Kathy, tell us how we can find out more about your program, how we can reach you, and give us some more words of wisdom on voting and why it's important.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I will tell you, you are doing a tremendous job standing there for the main man himself, Michael Van Tool. I have to shout you out, man.
Phenomenal.
You are doing a tremendous job. Almost like you was made for that job. Have I got some help on here? Mike gonna be able to relax. Yeah, he's gonna relax. He got a wonderful team. Here it is. I'm on Facebook. But I tell folks, if you want to know about me, Google me. I'm Googleable. That's what I tell them. I'm Googleable. You can Google me, and everything that's about me that is going to come up. If you read something about me and you got a question about it, please call me at 313-740-6601. My number is, you can always call me, you can leave me a message, and I'll definitely get back with you. Suicide Prevention, Rehabilitation, Treatment, Therapy. That's a program that God laid on me many, many years ago, and I'm telling you, it works. I don't play no games. You come talk to me, I'm going to get cut and raw with you. I'm not going to sugarcoat your thoughts. Because if you play with somebody's thoughts, then their mind just going to be in a hurry. As far as voting, please, if you get a chance, go back and listen to the show that we did. I want you to really listen to that, to the words of that snippet of that song that I wrote, because it's very important. And if and I like the idea that the sis said, and we should push that now. And if you got a bunch of young folk, just a picture, a bunch of young folks who's graduating from high school who didn't think that they would make it, and they're saying thank you to everybody that been through something, because they figure that had it not been for them, they wouldn't be able to do the things. None of us would be able to do the things that we are doing today. Your vote does matter. Anybody that tells you your vote don't matter, that's the one that don't want you to vote. And if somebody if somebody don't want you to vote, then guess what? Mm-hmm. They on some other stuff. Stay away from people that got an other stuff mindset. Oh, watch out. That's another sermon. Stay away from people that got I'm on some other stuff mindset. And allow the Spirit of God, that's his breath, allow him to radiate throughout your body and help you move and help you do what you do. Vote. Your vote does matter. Don't get up and complain about nothing after the election is over when you didn't stand in that line. I wish I had a little more help on here.
Amen.
Because when you start asking folks what they complain, the stuff that they complain about, ask them where your voter's registration card at. Show me your voter's registration card. You see,
right.
So let's put something together that's going to attract. I don't care. We got to reach out to some of the big-time rappers, singers, whoever we got to reach out to, ask them to step in and say, hey, put together a show. Put together
right.
something and invite the young people there and tell them if you got your voter's registration card, you can get half off. If you don't have it, then you can sign up before you go inside the event, and then you'll be a registered voter. We have to get these young brothers and sisters registered to vote. God bless you all again. Can I get a small piece of help on here?
Amen.
You ain't getting no help. You ain't getting off of neither, bro. You done preached twice.
I'm
sorry.
Just come on, close us out. Come on, close us out. We got 2 minutes. Come on, close us out.
Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. And he will bring us in and out and through everything. Let's stay focused. Let's keep loving on one another.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Can
sure.
we close out with my song?
We can close out with your song. Go ahead. You gonna sing it? Okay, go ahead.
Are you ready to close us?
I am. We got 1 minute.
Closing. Go ahead. I thank you. I thank you for that. I thank you for having my back. I thank you for all you've done for me. Yeah, because you made me a part of history. Ah, that's so beautiful. God bless you all. God bless you all today.
God bless you guys. Thank you so much, Pastor Randall Smith. Thank you, Chaplain Stephen Cathy. Thank you, Henrietta Ivy. And thank you to Detroit for tuning in and listening to us. It has truly been a pleasure to sit in for Michael Van Tool. He will be back in another 9 days to be able to sit with you. And I'm going to shout out to Missionary Hattie Humphrey. We love you. Thank you. We are praying for you. But Missionary says something whenever she comes on. And she says, if you're going to pray about it, why worry? And if you're going to worry about
That's
it,
right.
then why pray? And so I'm just going to tell you, stop worrying. Pray about it. Stay in the book. Protect. And all will be well. Have a great week, guys.
God bless you.
You've been listening to The Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120. Today's program was produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Experts in small business support services, call 248-516-8300 to start your business today. The Michael Van Tool Show can be heard every Sunday morning at 7:30 on the Detroit Praise Network. Thank you for listening.